It's great to see you today. Hope everybody's doing great. I am excited to be here. I hope that you are excited to be here. It's the Lord's Day. As we pointed out, this is not day 7 of the week. This is day 1. And I can't think of a better way. There's not a better way to be able to be, get our week started out, but to be together, be a part of God's forever family together. We do have some folks out of town this morning, but I am glad that you're able to be here today. We have visitors with us today, and that's always a good thing. Glad that you're able to be here also. I do want to say that today is a special day because it's, number one, the Lord's Day. But it's also a special day because I have some good news to share with you. I love good news. You love good news. We love to see numbers grow, and not just for numbers' sake, but for the Lord's work's sake. And we've had visiting with us a while, a family that they are no strangers to work. They have been very involved in the Lord's work. They are a family that I have had the privilege to get to know even better, and I love them very much. They're just contagious people. You want to be around them. And so today, without further ado, we're very excited to welcome the Deathridge family. Travis, Beatrice, Harrison, Cecil, and Nathaniel. And they are all looking good, looking sharp, and lovely, and we're going to get them to stand up. Yay, we're welcome. Nathaniel, what's good, buddy? We're very excited. What a blessing they already are to this church family. I know many of you thought, well, they're already members here, but we made it official today. And so they're hard workers, and we're excited about that. And I'm excited to have them with us. Thank you, church, for making the decision to be here. Why do we worship? That's a great question. Well, first of all, it's our purpose in life. It is our purpose today to worship God. We know that God desires to be worshipped. God desires to be first. God desires to have no other gods before Him. That was what He told the Israelites when He was writing the Ten Commandments for Moses to give to them. There shall be no other gods before Me. I want to be number one. And so it is our purpose. God put us here. Don't think you're an accident. Don't think you have no purpose. You are here for God. You are here to bring glory to His name, to honor His name. But we came in this room today because this is our time to, number one, draw near to God. To start our week off drawing near to Him. Have we drawn near to God? I certainly feel like I have today. When Steve leads us in these songs, especially, it really, and Father God is one of my favorite songs, but I think about that song, that prayer that is what we sang today. It said, Father God, just for today. I need that. You know, there are a lot of distractions tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Just for today, help me walk Your narrow way. And then guess what? Tomorrow we'll sing that same prayer, right? We'll have that same thought, that same prayer request of God. But then also when we sing Nearer, Still Nearer. What a beautiful song that is. Beautiful lyrics, beautiful harmony, beautiful just sound to us, but I know it's a beautiful sound to God. Because that's what we're here today to do. Draw nearer to God. You see, Carl came and read to us, and it's a passage we'll look at in just a little bit. But in that passage of James chapter 4, it said, James said, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Today, what a blessing it is to be able to draw near to God. But I want you to turn to another passage this morning. And that passage is found in Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 11 through 16, especially verse 16 we want to see there. But I want to read all of it. Now, I'm going to read this from the ESV. I just like the way the wording was there. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. But before we read anything else, is that your goal today? Is that our prayer today? Is that why we live and worship and do what we do today, isn't that what it's about? We're striving to enter the rest. We're striving to go to heaven so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the Word of God is living. Isn't that a blessing? It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So what? All that to say this, the Hebrew writer says, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now let me put that in parish terms for you. The Savior we are here to draw near to today is not dead. He is alive. He went to this earth. He passed from the heavens to this earth. He was born of a virgin in a horse trough, in a stable. They laid Him there. And He was in a carpenter's home. And He was reared and He was raised. And He became a man who was tempted in all points as we are. But He resisted them all. He could have sinned, but He chose not to. He resisted them all, only to receive death as a punishment. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died on a cross. He was mutilated. He was just put at in a beating and a scourging. He was ridiculed and mocked. And they put Him on a tree, and He died. But He didn't stay dead. And He sits on the throne today. And He can sympathize with you. And He can sympathize with me. And He is our mediator. He is our Savior. He is the husband of the church. And today, because of that, we can draw near to God with confidence. What a blessing that is. Let's think about that again. A great high priest. He sympathizes. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the temptations. He knows how to win. He's on the throne. He's at the right hand of God. Why would we not want to draw near to Him? Why would we not? Why would we not live our lives so that we can be with Him one day? Listen, there are babies in this church, and I'm so glad. And I know that maybe there's some in the nursery or whatever, but there's some in here today, and some of y'all think when they fuss and they cry, and I understand taking them out. Michelle did that too. I didn't do it, I did with Bo a little bit, but when I was preaching, while they were doing all that. But anyhow, the point is, you do that, but I like to hear the crying. I like to hear because the rest of y'all are just quiet. I like to hear a little bit. I know that we're growing. We've got a young congregation who's growing up, and you're bringing them up in the Lord. I say all that to say this. If we want these babies, who wouldn't want their baby? You look at that baby, and it's perfect. And I hold these babies up here, and we see these babies, and they're perfect. And we say, I want this baby to go to hell. Anybody ever say that? No. That would be sick and twisted. But sometimes we raise them up to lead them that way. Think about that. It's about raising these babies up, and I'm glad they're here, but let's raise them up so they can draw near to Jesus Christ, so they can draw near to God, our Father, our Creator, as adults. Maybe we aren't where we need to be. Are we near Him today? Are we near Him right now? We talked about this in class this morning. I called it fast food religion. My brother Galloway called it 911 religion. Either way works. Are we only near to God today because we want something, or we need something, or we've got to have something? We've got to have some help. I'm struggling so bad. Listen, I understand that. I'm glad you're here, but that's not what God deserves. God deserves us to be near to Him all the time, not when it's convenient, not when we want it our way, not so that we can complain when the food's not just right or the worship's not just right. We need to be near God because God deserves it. And He wants nothing more but the best for you and me. Are we drawing near to God today because we desire that relationship? You see, it's my prayer today that we will all desire to be one with God. I love growing in number because that's more people that we can send out into the fields. But if we're not growing, growing in number is important, but if we're not growing closer to the cross, then we've missed the point. Today, what's holding us back from our growing? Well, the first thing that may be holding us back today are sandals. Our sandals. We need to draw near to God today without sandals on. Turn in your Bible to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. It's a great, famous passage of Scripture. It's a Sunday school favorite. It's a VBS favorite. It ought to be a favorite because there's such a great implication that happens here that makes history for all mankind. Because through it, God's people were able to be led out. The beginning in verse 1 of Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert. That's not an accident, I would imagine, would you? And came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see how this great sight, and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses! And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Pause. Whoa, Terry. You're saying God wants me to draw near. Well, he would have wanted Moses to draw near, right? But he tells Moses, as Moses sees this amazing sight, and by the way, God is amazing. He's amazing. He may not be revealing himself to you in a bush that's on fire that's not being burned up. But I tell you, he can reveal himself through a lot of amazing things still today. He reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through answered prayer. He reveals himself through people, through great acts of kindness, through great rainbows in a world full of storms. God is amazing. And Moses sees that. And he says, I've got to get closer to this. But God says, no, stay right there. Why? Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Take your sandals off, Moses. And let me introduce myself to you. He said, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. He said, I am the God of your people. I am the God of you. I desire this. This is now me adding. I desire this relationship with you. I desire your help. I desire you work for me. But there's something prohibiting you. You've got to take those sandals off. Moses was drawing near to God, but the sandals were holding him back. Why? Because when you think about God, you've got to see Him the way Isaiah saw Him. In Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is called to be a prophet of God. And Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, okay, he sees God. And he's going to answer the call to be a prophet. But when he sees the cherubim coming and they have these wings and they're flying and they're covering mouths and they're chanting, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." Excuse me. God is the holiest of holies. And at that point, Isaiah said, "Oh, I am a man of undone lips. I need somebody to purge me." And so those coals came and they purged him. And it's at that point he says, "Here am I, send me." Moses cannot get near to God because he's wearing the world. What we would represent today as the world. We can't approach God today with the world attached to us. Habakkuk 1 verse 13, God cannot look on wickedness. Also we learn in 1 John 1, in God there is no darkness at all. So before we can draw near to God today, before we can draw near to Him and get closer to Him, is what's preventing us the worldly sandals we're wearing? I'm going to give you a word now. It's sandals, okay? You can spell it out in your notes, if you will. It's selfishness holding us back from drawing near to God. You think about selfishness in the Bible. We talked about it in class this morning. That was the number one answer when I said, what holds us back from worshiping God? Somebody said, selfishness. And I agree. It was the number one on my list too. It's selfishness holding us back. The prodigal son, I go there a lot, but I think there's so many great lessons. Luke chapter 15. He told his father, "Give me mine. Give me my portion. Give me my..." And that's how we are sometimes. It's about me, myself, and I. Again, I told you, maybe it's like fast food religion. I want to pull in when it's convenient. I don't want the line to be too long. I want to get what I want. I want to get it my way. And if it's not right, I will complain about everything and everybody and the franchise everywhere I can. That's how people approach church today. That's how people approach God today. We've got to get that junk out before we can approach God. When I come up out of this water, it's not about me anymore. It's about God. I kill self. I put self to death. So we've got to get self out. Today maybe we need to take off our selfishness. Number two, maybe it's our attitude. Maybe it's attitude. You know what Pharaoh said, and after Moses agrees to this finally, and he goes and says, "Let God's people go," he says, "Who is the Lord?" You know what his attitude was? "I'm God. I'm king of the world. I'm king of Egypt. And I'm ruling the world. I've got these people that work for me. They're slaves. And they do everything I tell them to do. I'm God in my own mind." 10 plagues later, he realized he wasn't God. God said, "You want to know who I am? I'll show you who I am." And today our attitudes can't be that we're God. We need God. Every hour, "I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee." So we need to get rid of the attitude if it's holding us back. Thirdly, maybe it's negativity. There's sandals again, okay, spelling it out. Negativity. Is negativity holding us back? Remember when Nehemiah said, we've got to go build this, and the people built the wall because why? They had a mind to work. But there was Sanballat and Tobiah. There were these naysayers that said, y'all can't do it, and they tried to prevent them from doing it. Is there somebody in your life right now saying, stay away, you can't do it, you can't overcome it, you can grow closer to God, He doesn't love you? Well, we've got to get rid of that negativity. Maybe it's doubt. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But when you think about doubt, people doubted Moses. I mean, they doubted Moses. They doubted Noah. They doubted him. I'm not going to sit here and say there was no type of water, rain on the earth. I don't know all the details of that. People a lot smarter than me said it had rained before. We don't read about it. But here's what I do know. There was never been a flood like they saw. Okay? No matter what. And so Noah goes out, and some say it took him 120 years. I don't know, but it seems a pretty good estimate to me. 120 years to build this ark. And they measured it out. Outdoor Bible and the teenagers, they measured it out. And I know how big it is. I know how big a football field is. And I know what that looks like. But when I went out there and I looked, I said, wow. What a boat. And they doubted it. Noah, you're crazy. You are crazy, man. It's not going to rain like that. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? But when that door shut, how many were doubting? Doubt held them back. But when the door shut, it was too late, folks. Get the sandals of doubt off today. Maybe it's anger. Cain was angry at his brother. He should have been angry at himself, but he was angry at his brother. He was angry at God. And God said, sin lies at the door. But he murdered him anyhow. Maybe today it's anger that's holding you back. Maybe it's lust. We've got to get the sandals of lust off. David allowed lust to come in between him and God's own heart. He let another man's wife come in between him and God's own heart. It cost him. Yes, he made things right. He took that lust off. And he became a man of God again. But don't let it cost us today. Let's take the sandals off. And then finally, we sum it all up with this one word, sin. You and me, are we allowing sin to hold us back? We've got to take those sandals off. But a second, I know there's a lot. I know you're thinking, Terry, you just gave me about 8 more points. But here's technically point number 2. I said it already, but we've got to approach God without doubt. Look at Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I love that. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. You know what's beautiful looking up the Hebrew words in some of these Psalms? The Hebrew word for trust there is shelter or refuge from a rain or a storm. Last weekend, we were getting ready, weren't we? People were looking for flashlights and batteries and water and canned goods and generators, and all these things are essential in a storm. But you know what's more important than batteries and flashlights and water and canned goods and generators? Shelter. Shelter. You know, we can do without a meal or two. We can do without, we can see in the dark okay enough. I'm just saying worst case scenario. But in that storm, we need shelter. Okay? We need shelter. Shelter is vital. However, the storms of life must be faced with the only one that can calm. He is our shelter. Mark chapter 4, you know the passage, verses 35 through 41. Don't have time this morning to read that. But Jesus is asleep on a pillow, preached on it not too long ago. He's asleep in the stern, and there's this storm that comes up. And you remember, he gets up, he rebukes the wind, peace be still, he rebukes them. Why did you doubt? Why are you so fearful? Again, we're talking about doubt, approaching God without doubt. I want you to think about this. Here are 3 points in that passage quickly, okay? Number 1, in life there are going to be storms. There's just no doubt. There are going to be spiritual storms. Some of you are going through them right now. And you're wondering, when is the sun coming out? When is the rainbow coming up? There are spiritual storms in life. Okay? John 16:33. I can't quote that enough. Here's another point out of that. Sometimes those storms are going to be extremely scary. That's just reality of the world we live in. But here's the most important point I want you to see from this passage. We can't make it through the storms without the Savior. We can't survive them. So we got to take the doubt off. We got to draw near to God with confidence. Finally this morning, as we talk about drawing near to God, we've got to draw near to God without pride. We've got to draw with humility. James 4:1-10. Let's read it together as we close. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace. Therefore, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Today, what holds a lot of people back, they can understand the point of removing the sandals, if you will, the sin and the things that we talked about. They can understand the point that we've got to remove the doubt. But sometimes what holds people back the most is not being able to make that first step. Not being able to walk that aisle. Not being able to put away the world. Not being able to put away the things that stand in the way. God said you can't approach Him with pride. The devil tried that. He tried. He had all this power. Apparently he thought he could rise to the throne of God. But it cost him all eternity. Today, as we close, I want you to think about God the way the Father is in Luke 15. The prodigal son I mentioned earlier, give me my portion. He gave it to him. He wasted away. He's sitting in the pig pen wondering, thinking about home, thinking about the servants, thinking about food, thinking about clothing, thinking about shelter. I'm sure somewhere along the way he had to think about his father because he worked out this speech and he rehearsed it. And I'm sure he was nervous. He was humble in the pig pen. But what I want you to see today is what the Father was doing. The Father wasn't waiting to squash him. He wasn't waiting to destroy him. He wasn't even waiting to reprimand him. He was just longing for him to come home. Come back near me so I can hold you. So I can love you. So I can celebrate you. Today, that same Father is still waiting. Won't you come home right now? Let's together.